I remember being a first-year minister in training in my first day of preaching class. And we were told, your job today is to think of a Bible verse that means something to you, and in a few minutes, just talk about it for a while. Well, it turns out that the verse that I thought of on that day is the same one that I want to share today, but I've learned a few things since then. In any case, from Matthew's Gospel, the very last verse, in effect, the last thing Jesus said to us when he turned us loose. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." Shouldn't be surprising that that particular verse should mean something to a first-year minister in training on his first day in preaching class. It's the big promise coming from the Bible that you who are about to or are learning how to go out and make disciples of all nations and do the baptizing, I'm with you always. And I'm going, put me in, coach. Here I go. It is going on 40 years since that day. And I've been about this business for that long. And while I was sure he was with us always on that day in class, there have been days since when not so much. If he is with us, he's being pretty stealthy and silent about it when we're in the middle of it or up against it or simply bogged down with the day-by-dayness of what we have to do to get through. That's why it's important, I think, to vacate, as in go on vacation. Shut off the email for a while. You might learn something, depending on where you go, which is what we did since the 2 weeks since we were last together. We went to maybe the most amazing vacation spot on Earth, our 50th state, and it's part of where I always go when I know I need to learn more about where God is. I go to the sea. I go to the coast. There's something primal. There's something unfathomable about simply standing at the edge of an ocean. And that's in part where I'm able to begin to say again, there he is. As in the, lo, I am with you always. Where is he? Well, there he is. He's there in the amazing and unimaginable stability of the sea from which all life has come. We learned that the descendants of native Hawaiians came to that little rock in the middle of the Pacific only about 1,000 years ago, which is not very long ago in the scope of human history, certainly in the scope of the cosmos. And it occurred to me, as it almost always does standing on a seacoast, is that when whoever it was that showed up in Hawaii 1,000 years ago hit land, turned around and looked back out, what they saw was exactly what I'm looking at today. Now, you have to crop out the parasailers and the hotels and all that stuff, but the sea has not changed. It is as it has always been and as it will always be. And that particular sea, the Pacific Ocean, has some unique qualities that even amplify the stability and wonder and power of God's creation. Hawaii is regarded as one of the most remote spots on Earth, in part because it's 1,000 miles from the nearest other rock, which is uninhabited and which I can't pronounce the name. But it's 2,400 miles from the nearest inhabited landmass, which is Los Angeles. It's in the middle of the Pacific, which is large enough, if you put a puzzle together, to hold the entire land mass of the Earth will fit in the Pacific Ocean. And I learned this on one of the tour deals we did, is that if you are in a boat off the coast of either the eastern or western shore of the Pacific Ocean, if you're in that boat and you dropped a line straight down from there through the center of the Earth and out the other side, you'd still be in the Pacific Ocean. Stunning. This unbelievable, incredible, largely unchangeable moment in time where you're standing on a coast looking out is exactly the same as anyone throughout time would experience that moment. There he is in the stability and unimaginable power of creation. And there he is also, because the great paradox is this, that while the ocean looks exactly the same as it always has since God's Spirit moved over the waters, it's also a little different every day. And those who are near it or around it or in it have to adapt. So I would say, if you want to know where he is there wherever human beings adapt and improvise and overcome and figure stuff out. In one sense, I learned, as I always have known, that the temperature of natural water changes quite a bit. I grew up in a town that bordered Lake Michigan, the western shore of Lake Michigan, and because of the way the winds are, the water is always freezing cold. Except for about 2 or 3 weeks in the summer, it gets to about 70 degrees, which is sort of the threshold of what's refreshing and not freezing. And I have done then, as I did this last week, you experience the heat of the sun. Maybe even exercise and amplify how hot and sweaty you get. And how amazingly refreshing it is to jump in the water and cool off and come out. And you're suddenly much cooler than you were. Now, there's a science behind that. What cools your body and what makes cool water refreshing is the evaporation process. Water evaporates and you are cool. Now, the science behind that generates the technology behind air conditioning. Did you know that? An air conditioner is an evaporative cooler. It's a machine that does what your body does and generates cool air. We are adaptable, improvising people. We learned from what our bodies do something that helps us do technologically what keeps us comfortable. I also learned that Hawaii, for example, is among the most refreshing places on Earth, because the water temperature of the Pacific in that part of the world only changes 4 degrees the entire year. You don't have to wait for 2 weeks in August to refresh in the ocean of Hawaii, but that's unique. The point is, water temperature is refreshing. But you can also, out of human ingenuity and adaptability, experience ocean life, swim in the ocean, when it's very cold, because we've invented wetsuits. We've invented the technology even to breathe underwater through scuba gear. And I think that's something of a metaphor. If you want to experience the power of life in the sea and it's simply too cold to swim, you can wrap yourself in a wetsuit. Metaphorically, if you want to experience, or if you are forced to experience, what is uncomfortable or even seemingly uninhabitable in the way we live together, you can wrap yourself up in friendship, in kinship, and with the spirits and presence of the people that love you. To push the metaphor beyond what probably makes sense, scuba divers learn on the first day about the buddy system. When you are in a position where it's cold, dangerous, dicey, where there is any threat in your life, in the sea if you're scuba diving, but anywhere else by extension, I think, the buddy system really helps. And we have adapted to form communities, to put ourselves in families, to create congregations through which the love of God is transmitted. He is there every time we adapt and improvise, through technology, through kinship, through ministry. I also learned that what makes the ocean different every day, even though it's exactly the same as it's been for millennia, is the wind. There are some days when people who sell things to tourists sell them surfboards when the waves are high and the winds are moving. Or there are other days when the winds are low and the sea is calm, they sell you snorkels. So you have to adapt. If you want to enjoy this in some way, you get on a board and ride it out. And sometimes, again, metaphorically, that's how you deal with life. The thrilling parts of life, sometimes the frightening parts of life, sometimes the parts of life that threaten. You get on a board and you ride it out. Or, when days are calm, you put on some glasses, look through some lenses, and try to learn a little something. Where is he? There he is, in the stability of creation, the adaptability of human beings, and finally in the certainty that this ain't near over. We are still a work in progress, and we haven't seen anything yet. To draw into this discussion the punchline to St. Paul's great poem on love, the greatest of these is love. Immediately after that, he says, "Now we see through the glass darkly. We see only in part, and yet it might be enough." We saw the brochure and bought the idea of going snorkeling. The brochure had technicolor pictures of multicolored coral, nose to nose with sea turtles. This will be your experience if you buy this package and get on this boat and go where we'll take you. Except we went on that snorkel tour on a day better suited to surfing. It's all right. Learned a little something anyway. We go out, the waves are high, and the water is murky, which from a tourist's point of view is disappointing. But from an opportunity to learn something point of view was aptly precise. I did. I put on a snorkel, had a GoPro camera, and went down checking it out. And while I didn't come nose to nose with, I came probably from here to the wall to a sea turtle. Jeannie saw three of them on the land, on the surface of the ocean, but I saw one and got it on film. And that's when it hit me, under the sea to that degree, that we're all in this together, that there's a process of which we're a part, the end of which we cannot know. A sea turtle is an evolutionary bridge, part amphibian, part fish. And you're looking at certainly what was a work in progress at its apex, and yet still is an image of, well, maybe there's more to it than we think. And who knows? As a human being, much higher up on the food chain in the evolutionary process, maybe we're still a work in progress. Maybe we will evolve into something different individually, or maybe more dramatically collectively as a species. You don't know. But I do know I could only see it pretty dimly because the water was murky. And it's always a little murky. So what do you do when you're not sure what it is or what it means, when the water's murky? You rely on where you know he is, in the vastness of creation, in the adaptability and insight of human beings. And maybe one thing more, because when we're most uncertain is when we ask ourselves questions like these. Was I worth the trouble? Am I still worth the trouble to my family? Does God still care about me, even though he probably knows about the times I really stepped in it? And we know there are at least three or four times when we have so massively stepped in it and got it so dreadfully wrong, we can hardly imagine that anyone could forgive or continue to care. At that point, I would say, he's in one place more. And to make the point, I would call to mind the first couple of lines of a hymn we mostly know, but doesn't generally make it on our top 10 list of favorites. There's a wideness in God's mercy. And the second part made a lot more sense to me after the last 9 days. There's a wideness in God's mercy as the wideness of the sea. Where is he? There he is, in the wideness of the sea, ready with mercy. He's got your back. Let us be about who we are, a part of bringing us all closer to what he intends us to be. Amen.